With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So we're not having video footage of this one?
Francis, no. I know that you want to have video footage, but we're not having video footage of this one.
No, I do. I want to see... What? You guys,
you don't want to see, lads. I haven't worn a bra for a week, so I'm not going to put one on now.
Neither have I. So, it's
fine. Laura, I'm really sorry. Francis just really wants to see you. It's really creepy.
I'll send him a picture afterwards. I might draw him one. I'm sending the post.
But you know, I wonder about posts. You know, because obviously it's like a letter. Can the virus stay on post?
I had on my radio show, I had a doctor on, Dr. Zoe Williams, and I asked her, that was one of the questions, because I actually didn't even think of that. Apparently, you should be okay, but if you really want to be extra careful, you can just not touch the letter for about 10 hours.
Shut up, that can't be true. It doesn't stay alive for 10 hours.
And certain substances, it can.
Well, no, in fact, on hard surfaces, it can stay alive for up to 2 weeks, they found. On the Princess Cruise ship, they found traces of the virus 2 weeks after everyone was off.
Well, I tell you what, then on my muscles it will be staying there. I was gonna make a way more crude joke. I decided
basically
not to.
Just don't touch anything or yes. Do anything for the next 2 weeks.
Exactly. Don't open any doors. If you really need to open a door, just get someone else to do it.
Yeah, great idea. Let them deal with the germs.
Hello everyone, welcome to Private Parts Podcast. This is where we read the most intimate sort of details of our lives. Hey, very excited, Laura Whitmore on the podcast.
Yay! Can I yay myself?
Yeah, you can yay yourself.
We can insert some canned applause if you.
Thanks, because you guys didn't give me anything there. Thanks.
It's difficult to clap with a microphone in your hand. Actually, I have to say.
Oh, I've got a stand on my microphone.
Oh no, that is very fancy. A bit decadent, Laura, in these times.
Laura, we were talking about this. You know, at the moment, once again, we're all in self-isolation. We're all around the different parts of the country. It's tricky. You're recording your podcast. Actually, we just recorded your podcast, Castaway. And it's tricky when you're doing a podcast when you can't see one another.
It's weird.
In the same room. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, you do miss that. That's why I do like, actually, I'm using a lot of FaceTime and House Party and Zoom and things like that, even with phone calls, because it is nice seeing someone's face. Also, you don't know if they're like rolling their eyes or if they're even properly listening to you, or if they're even in the room anymore. Sometimes if I'm talking a lot like now and you haven't said anything in a while, I'm like, are they even still there anymore?
But have you guys found with this like House Party thing, all these random people are like coming out of the woodwork and like people I haven't spoken to in like years. And I'm like, why would I now, you know, want to speak to you?
Yeah, I was on for all of our listeners who don't know what House Party is. House Party is basically an app that you go into and it's basically organizing a virtual sort of house party Skype session with loads of different people. But anyone can join unless you lock the room. I didn't know this either. So a guy that I hadn't spoken to since I was about 10 years old suddenly popped up. and started speaking to me. It's you're kind of just anyone can pop out of anywhere. That's the kind of scary thing.
I mentioned there the doctor I had on my radio show, and I've never met her before, but she actually said after the show, I was talking to her on the phone, and she said, oh, I saw you were on House Party, and we obviously have, she's in my contacts, so she said, I was going to pop into your room, virtual room, but then she said, I best not, because earlier she had seen that Nick Grimshaw, Grimmy, was online, and she clicked on it, and she suddenly was in a room with his granny, his mom, his niece, the whole Grimshaw clan, and her.
Shut up.
That's so funny.
That is too good.
No joke. The other day I was in a group with my friends having a chat, and there must have been about seven of us. I think you can do about eight different households, but then suddenly this
You're
girl
like a pro
popped
at this.
Up.
Are you a pro at this?
This girl popped up and she was just in bed. And she must have been a friend of a friend of a friend, because it has to be connected somehow. And she just went, oh shit, and then just turned the camera off.
But it's so funny because also when you join when you join a room, especially when it's like a group of people, everyone suddenly goes really quiet. So you always feel like, you know, they were having some secret conversation without you.
It's basically like real life, because I've been to parties when I walked into a room and everyone goes quiet. So it's just
It's like, oh, sorry, if I interrupted a serious conference call or something. Yeah.
What, you think that people are having serious conversations on House Party? Yeah. You're suddenly coming, hey, everyone, how you doing?
Sorry, if I interrupted your annual general meeting or something.
I tell you what, guys, this is totally true. What happened to me today, and this is no word of a lie, okay?
Well, so that makes it sound like a lie, actually, the way you're overselling it.
I'm not overselling. I just want to make sure that you realize it's not a lie, Francis. This is not a lie, I promise you. I have a sore foot again at the moment, because I've been running on the road, so I've got a bit of a sore foot. So I was trying to find one of those, you know, have you ever seen those massage things that kind of, it looks like it's like pumping like a hammer? Really fast. Have you seen those ones, Laura? Have you
vibrator.
Seen these things?
Yeah, that sounds like a vibrator to me.
Okay, fine. So it's not a vibrator.
Yes, I have one of those, yes.
Oh, is it called a Theragun? A Theragun.
Wait, a fairy gun, is that what it's called?
Theragun.
Okay, so it's called one of those. Anyway, my mum, I kid you not, said, oh, I've got one of these things. Here you go, and handed it to me this morning, and it's called a magic wand. And it's a vibrator. my mother handed me her thing that was a vibrator this morning, and I didn't realize until I used it, and my girlfriend said, no, that's a vibrator. And I was like, why is my mum handing me these things? This is
but
what
more
everyone's...
importantly, did it help with your foot?
It did. It really helped my foot. It really helped the foot, but it's this huge thing. So everything's going stir crazy at the moment in self-isolation, I feel.
As I'm sitting here, I'm just in my little office recording this, and I've got like lots of different notebooks and stuff, and I'm no word of a lie, there's a box in front of me that I got sent in a goodie bag, and it's the world's first biodegradable vibrator. I have it in a box literally in front of me. It's in my hand right
You're
now.
You're biodegradable.
It's biodegradable. It's safe for the environment, blissful for you too, body safe, splash proof.
Wait, so how...
I'm going to send you a picture. I'll send you a picture afterwards of it.
How does it biodegrade? What is it made out of?
Well, I haven't used it yet, but I'm just wondering, is it like mid-use? It suddenly just dissolves in your hand?
Wait, why does it also have to put on it that it's splash-proof? That is bizarre.
Yeah.
No, but I think there are legal like regulations about waterproof electronic items.
You need to be careful, actually, don't you? Because electrocute yourself, no one wants that.
So clearly it's not waterproof. Otherwise they would have said waterproof.
So it's only splash-proof.
So be careful with that, Laura.
Don't get too wet.
Laura, listen, you're living at the moment with your partner. How is it living with a boyfriend at the moment? Is it pretty tricky to be in self-isolation, or is it all right? Things going okay? Because I'm with my girlfriend at the moment. And we're arguing a little bit.
At the start, I'm not going to lie, I was worried. I was very worried because we've been living together for about a year, but we don't see a lot of each other. We don't spend a lot of time together, which has been quite nice. Ian is a comedian, so he does a lot of like late night gigs. I'd get up much earlier than him in the morning if I'm doing radio or whatever I'm doing. And I was a bit worried about how much time we'd spend together. I think I was more worried about that than anything else. And what I've discovered over the past week or two is that I quite like my boyfriend.
Oh, really? You worked that out?
I've worked that out, and it's such a huge relief because I wasn't sure which way it was going to go.
Yeah, that's good. That's good that you figured that out.
Do you know what it's... Yeah,
so
go ahead.
Say, what I've realised is my dog is a pain in the ass.
Oh, no. Why? Because it always wants to go out for walks.
Not even that. He just follows me everywhere. So, and normally, like literally everywhere. Like, I was on the loo the other day and he pushed the door open and jumped up on my lap. He's being so clingy. And we do yoga in the morning. I've managed to get Ian to do these yoga videos we watch. He does it with me in the morning. And every time I go into downward dog, the dog is under me. So when I lie flat back down, I've squished the dog. I'm just like, leave me alone. I can't get away from him. So when I leave the house, I bring him for a walk. So we don't have any time away. So boyfriend's okay. Dog's a little bit of a nightmare.
Well, this is the thing. I think dogs are going to get real separation anxiety when all of their owners go back to work, right? Go back to their normal routines.
No,
yeah,
why would
or
they
maybe
get
they'll
that?
Want the break.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. They'll be like, look, I've walked more than enough for, you know, in the eyes of the law.
But it's an interesting one about that because it's kind of a funny thing with relationships, right? Because when same thing with my girlfriend, you know, I've realized like you, Laura, that actually I quite like my girlfriend as well. And normally what happens is when I spent a lot of time in past relationships, I realized that actually I'm quite annoying and they probably just dislike me, or the other way around where I actually dislike them. But actually it's kind of a good sign when you're in a relationship and you spend a lot of time with each other and you go, oh, you know, well, I kind of like you. This is like a good sign, isn't it?
It's such a good sign.
It's true. It's like, well, I mean, obviously my girlfriend, we only became official in January. So it's kind of,
and
I guess, something of a...
together.
Yeah, now we don't have a cat. No, we don't have a cat.
No, that was producer Pete who has a cat.
Producer Pete, who had a cat? Do you know what? Can I just point out on my
you're obsessed with my cats at the moment.
On my screen, everyone's called Jamie because I have three Jamies going on, so I actually can't differentiate between both of you.
Francis,
Laura and I just did her podcast, as I said, and you know, throughout the entire time, all she kept talking about was this new Netflix series, The Tiger Man.
I just watched it.
The Tiger King.
It's brilliant.
it's just, everyone seems to be obsessed with this TV show. I mean, I still haven't watched it.
What do you think, Laura? Do you think he did it? I think he's innocent.
I think all of them did it. All of them did. There's not one innocent person in that show. No, I think she killed her husband. I think he tried to get her killed. I think they all do too much drugs. But poor animals shouldn't have been there in the first place. And they're all horrible people.
I think that the actual Tiger King, I think he's just a bit of a narcissist. And he kind of thought it was a fun adventure. But then these other guys basically set him up. I do think that he was set up.
He shot six tigers and buried them himself.
Oh, no, I mean, I'm not saying he's no angel, but I do think that in the case of his attempted murder or whatever, seems like they set him up.
Is it wrong, though? He's so charismatic. Like, when he does the music videos, I kind of like his voice. I'm kind of into some of the songs.
He's like a real life David Brent.
He's big time.
What is this? What he actually does?
You need to watch it. And we're not even giving anything away because so much happens in it. Like, I don't even know what the biggest reveal in it is because there's so much.
Listen, this is the interesting thing, right, about self-isolation. I know we touched on this before, Laura, but you know, for you, you are constantly working all the time, doing radio shows, doing TV shows, doing this, doing that. Was it hard for you to suddenly just relax and just chill and just be content with actually, you can't really go outside, you're still doing things from home like podcasts and stuff like that. But was it hard to switch off at the beginning?
I think it was needed. I think it was actually... I know everyone's having a really hard time, and I always try to see the positive in any situation. And I've kind of enjoyed being at home. I moved into the place I'm living in now about a year ago, and I felt it was just really holding my stuff as opposed to living in it. And people would ask me, you know, what do you and your boyfriend do in your spare time? Not that we have much spare time, but we used to go and like do a shop in Sainsbury's and come home and cook dinner together. And for us, that was such a novelty. We'd see other couples fighting with each other, but we were like, oh, this is lovely. This is like normal stuff, because we don't really get to do what some people might find mundane. We actually really appreciate. So now we're cooking together every night, and it's been really lovely. And I'm sure it's going to get tiresome, probably maybe a week, maybe less. But I'm really enjoying it. I feel like I needed this time. I think the beginning of the year was, there was a lot going on. There was a lot of travel. There was a lot of pressure. There was dealing with a lot of things that I didn't get to deal with because I was constantly moving. And I feel when you're constantly moving, you don't really deal with stuff that you need to deal with. And I think having this space to stand still and also not get FOMO, because I'm terrible. I always get FOMO. I'm always like, if I miss a gig or if I miss something's happening, everyone's missing everything. So I don't get the FOMO, and I get to stand still and just be present.
It's true. I think it's going to be good for a lot of people to have this time to work on themselves and just sort of be at home, you know, do the things they've been putting off.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you know what, Laura? You know, and you know, going back to sort of at the beginning of the year when you said, you know, there was a lot of pressure and things like that. And, you know, we don't need to go into everything, but there was a lot of pressure on you and to do things and do that. And how do you handle? Because for me, I'm not very good at handling pressure. That's I get kind of nervous. I start to freak out. You know, you over the years have kind of mastered that. How do you kind of deal with pressure and different things like that?
It's different, I suppose, depending on what it is, what type of pressure it is, whether it's personal, whether it's coming from work. And I like pressure. I do like, it's a certain type of pressure. I like taking myself out of my comfort zone. I remember like the first job I ever had was in MTV, and I entered a competition, and it was so out of my depth interviewing these people, and I just didn't have that experience. But I quite like the adrenaline rush of it, to challenge oneself. And that's why I like, there's all different parts to what I do, whether it's I went and did a play on stage for 6 months, and that was a different kind of pressure. So I've always liked challenging myself. But then there's different levels and there's different things that are going on personally. I remember like a few years ago when I was working on, I was hosting I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here Now, and I was going through a massive breakup, and I wasn't able to deal with the breakup because I had to fly to Australia, and that was a different kind of pressure, and I wasn't allowing myself to have the emotions that I wanted to have. And it's kind of a balancing game. You learn to try and balance it as much as possible, but you also have to deal with stuff. So if you haven't dealt with something, you have to allow yourself time to do that. So even at the beginning of the year, there's so much stuff that happened. I feel like this year has been about 3 years so far. And there's no right or wrong way, and there's I'm still learning, and probably some things that I wish I probably gave myself more time to deal with than other things. But you have to in the moment just work with what you have and what you feel is right and what you can deal with.
But the tricky thing, right, is that what I find, so this is what I find so amazing about performers and entertainers and people in the industry like yourself, is that, you know, when you have to, you have those bad days, like flying to Australia, how you know, going through a breakup, but you still have to go on television, you still have to be happy in this and connecting.
So
and
to put on your game face.
You have to put on your game face and you have to pretend everything is okay, where other people who are going through similar situations will find it just as hard or even harder or less so. But they can kind of sit by their computer and or sit in their office and they can kind of, you know, sort of sit with themselves a little bit more. As a sort of entertainer, you don't really ever have that chance to do that because you're always having to entertain, and that's hard, right?
Yeah, well, I suppose a lot of people have to do their jobs. Even if you're a doctor or you're a builder, you still have to go and do your job. I actually found the escapism quite nice that you get to go on television. That, like, all I wanted to do was wear my sweats, eat ice cream, watch Friends and cry. But I had someone doing my hair and makeup, and I definitely looked better than I should have looked because I had someone else like saying you should wear this or like and get me on television. And I enjoy the escapism of being on live television and the adrenaline, and you kind of forget what was going on. As much as you can, but I think a lot of people probably have to deal with that. I remember, like, I interview a lot of people, and I always think you should give people a chance. That I remember once, like years ago, I think one of the first people I interviewed was Katy Perry, and she's so lovely and great energy. And then I was flown to Germany with MTV to do something with her, and then last minute she turned down doing the interview, and I'd obviously been flown over. And they said that she wasn't feeling well, that she's really sick, she was under the weather, and she didn't want to meet people because, you know, not that she had coronavirus, but she just, she had something that she didn't want to pass it on to anyone. And then I was somewhere else and I bumped into her, either in the hotel or wherever we were. And I went, oh, hi, I hope, are you feeling okay? And she went, yeah, fine. And then I went, oh, okay. I didn't really say anything. And I remember, like, my producers and people who had obviously paid to fly me over, they're all a bit like, oh, for fuck's sake. And like, yeah, that's ridiculous. But at that time, looking back, I remember going, well, we don't know what's gone on in her day. And looking back, it was actually, I think it would have been around the time her marriage was ending. So like, nobody knows what someone's going through. So I always try and she still had to go, and I think she was still doing her tour, so she probably didn't want to do interviews, but she was still going on stage to her fans, which is more important. So I think we need to be careful how we talk about people that sometimes behind the scenes they might be going through other stuff.
Totally agree with you. I do love the fact that you bumped into her in the hotel room and she went, yeah, yeah, fine. And you were like, oh, sweet.
And I talk to your press team before you bump into anyone else.
Did you see, talking about this, I mean, this year has been full of, I mean, so much already, as you said. I mean, so many ups and downs. Do you follow the Fat Jewish on Instagram?
Oh, yes. I love the Fat Jewish. Also, I think it's really important to curate what I only follow people that make me happy.
Yeah, which is such a good way to, you know, social media can be either super positive or really negative. And I think it's really important, if you are going to be on social media, is to really get things that are really positive. And I totally agree with you. Did you see his post that he wrote about the time traveler? Did you see this one?
No, what was that one?
He basically wrote a post saying, I'll read it to you. He said, imagine if 10 years ago you were approached by a time traveler. And he was like, look, I don't have much time to explain. All I can tell you is that the year 2020 is going to be an absolute circus. You know Donald Trump, the star of The Apprentice? Well, he's the president of the United States. At the beginning of 2020, he gets into a Twitter beef with Iran, then almost starts World War III. Australia catches on fire and a woman tries to save it by selling pictures of her boobs. Kobe Bryant passes away in a helicopter crash. Half the world is devastated. The other half just make messed up memes. A little time passes, and just when the world starts recovering from the loss of Kobe, some dude in China eats a raw bat and starts a global pandemic that kills Mau Maus and Paw Paws. Everyone loses their minds. 40% of the population think it's the end of the world. The other 40% think it's all fake, and 20% blame the whole thing on cell phone towers and Tom Hanks' kids. The one thing everyone seems to agree on is that only way to survive is by hoarding toilet paper. Grocery stores are ransacked, eventually, as hysteria grows, world governments are forced to shut the entire planet down, lock everyone in their houses, and the only person that can keep people from completely flipping out and starting huge riot is a gun-toting, mullet-sporting, homosexual Oklahoma man with a meth addiction and 180 pet tigers.
Honestly, I know you did my podcast, Castaway, and you were talking about different podcasts, and I think one of them was the Richard Simmons one. And And I was just saying, you can't make up real life. Same with Tiger King. You can't make that up. Nothing as bizarre. Like, you can watch all the soap operas and you can talk about how EastEnders and Coronation Street's so far-fetched. It is nothing on real life.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's absolutely crazy. But Lord, do you sometimes look at your life? Because do you know what's so funny? And this is totally true again, is that you mentioned it before that you kind of came on to MTV because you entered a competition. Mm-hmm. You, isn't that right? You entered a competition where...
isn't that how you got on Made in Chelsea, Jamie?
Yeah, that's exactly
season
how
two.
I got
on.
we're all competition winners here.
but you entered a competition to work for MTV, and you won it. I remember that competition being put out there. I remember. I swear to God, I remember you winning that competition. I remember being jealous because I, forever, when I was a kid, I used to put my teddy bears in a row, and I used to. chat to them as if I was a TV host, and I always like, I want to be a TV host and things like this. When I saw this competition happening on MTV, I was like, well, I should enter it, but never did. Why did you decide to enter it?
Because if you don't enter it, you can't win it. That's the thing. And I think that's what lots of, I remember my mom used to always say about the lottery. Do you know when people would be like, oh, I wish I'd win the lottery? I'm like, have you bought a ticket? So you have to put yourself out there for things.
You gotta be in it to win it.
You gotta be in it to win it. I think as well, it came at a really good time in my life. I just graduated university and I was interning. I'd just broken up with my first boyfriend, and I was kind of at that stage where I was ready for the next step in my life. And I was living in Ireland, in my hometown. I was back at home. I had been living in university, but I'd gone back home. And I was a bit like, well, I can't just be home now because I've got a taste of real life. I can't just get back here to my childhood bedroom. So I had planned in my head to move to London, to the bright lights of London. But none of my family or friends, like all my friends are like, they've all got like I call real jobs. They're all doctors and doing important things. And I grew up with just my mom, and she was a civil servant working for the Department of the Environment. So I didn't really know how to do it. And then I saw this competition that MTV were doing. And I remember years ago when I was younger, seeing like Ida Bowman on the network and Davina. And I'd seen different shows called like Is She MTV, Richard Blackwood did. But they hadn't done a show like this in years, and I thought, well, this is my opportunity. So even if I don't win or get anywhere, I've got a contact, so maybe I can get work experience. That's honestly, my head was thinking, maybe I can get work experience in MTV.
And then you win it. Win it.
Fucking mad.
Because do you not say? Because I listened to your. I said to you, I listened to your podcast with Niall Horan on your podcast, and you said sometimes you look at your life and you kind of go, God, I mean, I just never expected this to happen. I never, and sometimes I sort of step back and go, Jesus, this is sort of still happening. Do you have that still? Do you actually have that where you step back and you go, God, this is actually happening. I'm doing all these different things. And all the things that I'd hoped to do are actually sort of coming true.
Yeah, I don't think I had a lot of time to think. Again, everyone's just always so rushing. There was so much to do. I remember when I won the competition, and you think, and actually winning the competition isn't the hard work done, because then you actually have to do the job and prove yourself.
Can I tell you what happened? What happens when you actually won it? What did they say? You win. Is that what happened?
Yeah. So we you win. It was, I think there was like everyone, I think sent in clips to either MySpace. You remember MySpace? Or like, and that's how you kind of entered it. And then they had like a few thousand people enter it, and then they kind of whittled it down to a few hundred, and then we all had to go to Camden. So I was like, also I had no money.
You all have to go to Camden.
Yeah, to Camden. I was like, shit, I have to pay for a flight to go to Camden. So I really was hoping I was going to win, because I was down to my last bit of money. But it was a competition. The three judges, they had Emma Willis, Trevor Nelson and Alicia Dixon were the judges.
I thought you meant Trevor Nelson auditioned. I was like, what?
No, I think he's a well pro. He did not have to be auditioning for that. But they were judges. So when it got down to the end, it was, I think it was Emma who said like, and the winner is Laura. And I went, what? Rang my father. And my father, he's the first person I rang. And he said, oh, Jesus. I didn't think you were going to win. I thought the whole thing was a fix. Must not be a fix if you're winning or something like that.
it's one of those things which is so funny that you enter it, you never think you're going to win, and then you suddenly end up winning it. You're like, what? I've just won this? This is bizarre.
Yeah, and then your family are surprised.
How many people entered the competition?
I think it was like 3,000, I think.
Oh, wow.
But I needed a new job. I needed a to kind of get somewhere else in a way. And it was just perfect timing. And but yeah, it was so fast paced that I won it. Then I had to move to London. And also, you think you have this glamorous life, but you're not making a lot of money working with MTV. You know what I mean? And also, you've just won a competition, so they don't necessarily have to pay you a lot.
And then you just find out that what happens is you're just interviewing people who are just really famous.
And also trying to keep up with this lifestyle that I couldn't afford. So I had to like move to London, and London's so expensive. So trying to find anywhere that I could afford to stay in and pay a month's deposit up front. And then the first, then I got over to London and they were like, okay, you're going to be starting in, I think it was June. Okay. So, and I won the competition in about April, May. They're like, okay, you're going to be coming over in 3 weeks. And now you're going to fly to LA and interview Coldplay. And that was my first day. And I was like, what? And they're like, you're going to go to the MTV Awards. And I was like, I have nothing to wear. There's no stylist or hair and makeup. So I was like, oh, okay. So, and then every day there was someone else I was interviewing and it just didn't stop. So I don't think I had a chance to go, fuck, I don't know what I'm doing.
What the hell is going on here? I love that. Right, Laura, we've got to that moment in the podcast where Frances is going to give us the question of the week. So, Frances, let's have the question of the week.
Go for it, Frances.
So this question, actually, I learnt the answer to this question when I was watching Tiger King.
Okay, sweet, can't wait.
I was thinking Tiger King.
Meth
I
suppose is bad for you.
They had to call it Tiger King, even though there were lions as well, because Lion King was taken.
I never even thought about that.
Okay, what's your question?
But or maybe they tried to call it Lion King. We don't know. But basically, how much does the average human head weigh?
What?
Why is that to do with Tiger King?
Yeah, why is that relevant?
Oh, because he said he was going to put
her
head in a jar, and then he picked it up with one hand, and I was just thinking, oh, it looks a bit too light. But anyway.
Out of everything that was going on in the scene, that's what you took from it.
I love that. That Frances thought nothing about the conversation, nothing I'm with is, that looks a bit light.
For a human head.
Okay, Laura, you're our guest, so you get to guess first.
Okay, I'm going to say, because I know how much my dog weighs, and he's roughly around the same size as Ian's head.
So, how much does your dog weigh?
So I think my dog is, he's only little. I think he's like 4 kilograms. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's 3 or 4. So I'd say it's 3 or 4 for a head.
Okay, God. So you're doing a range of 3 or 4.
Three okay. to four. Is that okay? Is that specific?
Yeah, you're allowed to do that.
I reckon you're wrong there. I don't think you're right. I think carrying a head is like carrying a small plant pot full of soil. I think it's going to be like, I reckon.
Or do you know that from your gardening?
yeah,
gardening
from my gardening, from my gardening that I do. I'm going to go for an average head. I'm going to go for 12 kilograms. Is that really heavy?
Like 3 times my dog.
12 kilos.
Is that really heavy?
Maybe that's how big you think your head is.
Come to think of it, I'm now thinking about weights in the gym. I can hardly lift 12 kilograms above my head, let alone on top of my shoulders. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to go for 8 then. Let's go for 8 kilograms.
8
okay.
kilos. All right. More.
All right. Okay, listen, Laura, we're going to find out that in part 2.
I want to know now. I want to know now.
Yeah, but listen, you get to stick around because we're going to come back to part 2 in just a second. Yeah. So we'll see you in part 2, all right?
See you in a moment.
See you in a bit.
In part 2.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.